Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. All of us here at Tetherball Academy Media today are in mourning over Toby Keith. I got the red solo cup for Toby here, the hard AF seltzer. And is there anything more patriotic than having a guest on the show who's stormed the fucking Capitol? Let's go, baby! This insurrectionist piece of shit.
Before we get to this son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Bob sent me an anecdote about Toby Keith that I want to read right now. You ready?
Please do.
It's not favorable.
Take
for
your
Mr.
time.
Keith.
Whoa. Why? Why are you going to besmirch his name today?
We're just going to read it. As a matter of fact, Bob, why don't you read it?
Oh, no. No.
Because it said this liberal bullshit, it sounds better coming out of his fucking theater kid mouth.
Okay. You know? All right. Probably Bob's accurate. Getting over some form of disease, though. But give it your best, Bob.
It's called liberalism.
This is from, I don't remember when this is from, but it was at the height of Keith's situation, like fame or whatever.
TK, yeah.
Yeah. Standing behind the Beacon Theater in New York, leaning against a crumbling brick wall in the dark, I could barely see Kris Kristofferson standing to my left. Willie Nelson was in the shadows to my right. Ray Charles was standing beside Willie, idly shifting his weight back and forth. A bit further along the wall were Elvis Costello, Wyclef Jean, Nora Jones, Shelby Lynn, Paul Simon, and their respective managers, friends, and family.
Some fucking names, dude.
Yeah.
Everybody was nervous and tight. We were there for Willie Nelson's 70th birthday party concert in 2003. Up from the basement came one of country music's brightest stars, who shall remain nameless. This is about Toby Keith, though. At the time, the star had a monster radio hit about bombing America's enemies back into the Stone Age.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, the star said to Willie, breezing by us as he passed Kristofferson in one long, confident stride. Out of the corner of his mouth came, "None of that lefty shit out there tonight, Chris."
Round of applause, Delka. What the fuck is wrong with
well,
you?
Well, that's not the punchline, bud.
It should be.
It's about to get worse.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Damn it, man.
It's about to get real bad for you and Toby.
Why? Well, why me and Toby?
We'll see. Just fucking finish reading the goddamn thing.
Me and TK, we're doing this today?
Well, you're the one that chose to saddle up with this dude. That's all I'm saying.
I should have been a cowboy. So, yeah, I'm going to fucking saddle up with
you
him.
Think he's ever been a cowboy in his goddamn
life?
Yes,
dude.
No,
yes.
He's not.
I've partied with Toby Keith, okay? I've partied with Toby Keith. It wasn't fun because it was a down night. But he's the dude. Go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah, go ahead.
"What the fuck did you just say to me?" Chris growled, stepping forward. "Oh, no," groaned Willie under his breath. "Don't get Chris all riled up." "You heard me," the star said, walking away in the darkness. "Don't turn your back to me, boy," Kristofferson shouted, not giving a shit that basically the entire music industry seemed to be flanking him. The star turned around. "I don't want any problems, Chris. I just want you to tone it down." "You ever worn your country's uniform?" Chris asked rhetorically. "What?" the star said. "Don't what me, boy. You heard the question. You just don't like the answer." He paused long enough to get a full chest of air. "I asked, have you ever served your country? The answer is no, you have not. Have you ever killed another man? Huh? You ever taken another man's life, then cashed the check your country gave you for doing it? No, you have not. So shut the fuck up." I could feel his body pulsing with anger next to me. "You don't know what the hell you're talking about." "Whatever," the young star muttered. Ray Charles stood motionless. Willie Nelson looked at me and shrugged mischievously like a kid in the back of the classroom. Kristofferson took a deep inhale and leaned against the wall, still vibrating with adrenaline. He looked over at Willie as if to say, "Don't say a word." Then his eyes found me. "You know what Waylon Jennings said about guys like him?" he whispered. I shook my head. "They're doing to country music what pantyhose did to finger fucking."
So just let's get into the street cred here.
Hang on.
Right.
Look, first of all, love the story and respect it.
Yeah.
Second of all, Kris Kristofferson in my book of legends is still higher than Toby Keith, so I'm not mad at this
okay,
story.
Toby Keith is not even in the fucking book.
Sure is.
He's not even allowed to check the book out from the library, you understand, because he's got past due notices going on. So Kristofferson's dad was a major general in the Air Force, and then Kristofferson himself was a captain in the Army and also a Ranger.
No shit.
Yeah, so... just in case you were wondering if there was some kind of situation going on here, there wasn't.
No.
He was right, and Toby Keith is a war profiteer, basically. Instead of doing it from Halliburton and KBR, he just did it from the fucking record studio.
Okay, so here's where I'm going to go with this, all right? Toby Keith had asthma, couldn't serve his country, all right? Tried to valiantly, didn't pass the exam, and they said, Toby, you're sucking in too much air. We think we'd be bad out there. And they said, Toby, is there anything else you can do for the country? And he goes, yeah, I could sing about it.
Yeah,
I could fucking sing about it. And they were like, that will be better than serving your country. Please do that instead. Toby gratefully did that.
Well, it definitely was better.
But Christofferson is up there for
it. It definitely was better that he sang instead of fought because he's a bitch, right?
Not sure.
No, he is.
Not sure.
You know who else had asthma is Danny Mayer. So a lot of people know him as Donnie O'Malley. And his dad was a Navy doctor.
Yep.
And had all his records, and Donnie broke into his dad's office and destroyed all the records and then became an infantry officer in the Marine Corps.
Yep. He sure did.
So you either suck dick or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And Toby Keith sucked dick.
Guys, there's one more issue that Toby had, okay? And he was flat-footed. So we know you can't have asthma and be flat-footed and serve your country.
He also got his feels hurt real easy, I'm told.
That is correct, by the way. So I only have one Toby Keith story. It's not that great because it was a Tuesday night and nothing was going on. But not the friendliest of dudes. Great catalog, though. And let's face it, 9/11, top three. Obviously, the buildings are one, you know. RIP to everybody there. George Bush throwing out the first pitch.
Well, technically,
and then Toby Keith at three for the song, dude.
They're 11.
Right.
Because it's two of them.
Sure, there's two of them, right. But I combine them for that because they both fell together, and that's where we landed with that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Nobody's ever said that Kris Kristofferson wasn't a fucking badass. He's up here to me.
I didn't know he was... I don't think most people know that he was a Ranger, that he was an Army captain.
No idea.
Right?
No idea, actually. But Kristofferson's always carried himself like that, so that story makes me amped. Whereas... I don't know that Toby Keith's genuinely gotten in a fight or whatever. Maybe up in heaven he is because he's dead now. But either way, he was a patriot. His music did a lot for this country. And we've got a patriot on the show who broke into the Capitol building on January 6th.
Well, that might not be exactly what happened.
I'm kidding. So here's the thing. I read this in Texas Monthly.
Jeez.
About you. And I don't know if you've read this article. I'll read the headline for you here. It says he stormed the Capitol and hid from the law at Hill Country Resort. Now he has his day in court, the trial of Luke Coffey. That's you.
That's right. And I did once like this liberal rag called Texas Monthly more for their leisure and art pieces, but that was that's the second article that they've put out, you know, that is complete full of shit lies. And, I mean, I can break them apart. Hiding from the law.
Let's start there. What resort are they accusing you of being at? We live in the Hill Country here.
It's so in Comfort, Texas, Riven Rock Ranch. It's called. And I was renting a cabin there.
Log cabin?
It was a very humble abode, let's just say that, in Comfort. And I was going down there to stay with my buddy at his ranch, and his dad died on the way down. And this was after...
In the car?
He died on the ranch or whatever, you know, and they have a big family ranch, and I was going to stay at one of their cabins there. And I was like, man, I'll just rent a cabin. And I wanted to get away because this was after all, everything had gone down and I needed to get out of Dallas where I'm from originally.
Sure.
Ross.
So here's the next part of this is now they're saying, according to Texas Monthly here.
Yeah.
Which everybody reads in the studio. We're all subscribed to it and all that other stuff. It says here that you were once somewhat contrite, but now you're trying to frame yourself as a victim of excessive force.
That's again, the story behind Texas Monthly piece was a family friend, Peter Hawley, who was a friend of my cousin's, who basically... After this all went down, and I was on the FBI's most wanted list, and we'll get into my story and how I ended up there. But he basically, I had a cousin reach out and said, Luke, he just wants to tell your story. And he came out to this resort, which he claims that I was hiding out at, which I told him the address, and he showed up, and he had several drinks and wanted to come back the following day. I think it makes claims that I was rambling on. The guy wanted to hang out with me for 2 days and acted like he was a friend and going to tell him, you know, the true story, and then he just totally spin it. So I don't know if this little rag has a vendetta against me, and they'll probably come after me again, but bring it on, because it's complete lies.
You know what you should say to him? How do you like me now?
How do you like me now?
How do you like me now?
Just only give Toby Keith quotes forever. I think that would be great after this, but think about it.
I need to think about that, yeah.
Think about it.
By the way, happy birthday, brother.
Thank you.
Yes, happy birthday to Anthony and Anthony Holloway. How old are you today?
43.
43 years old. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah.
Great. You made it, dude. You made it another fucking day. That's crazy, man. Look at you. You're all fucking big inside. Let's start with why you went there in the first place.
Okay, so I'm a filmmaker. I've had a commercial production company in Dallas I've had it for 14 years. 15 years, but it's kind of been gutted, as you can imagine from the press. But I went out there with a buddy who is, I am a conservative. I'm, you know, I consider myself a patriot, but I guess during COVID is where I got more. Well, you talked about Carter in an original hour, Mike. So I've got my grandfather was, step grandfather was chairman of the DNC under Carter.
Jimmy Carter?
Yes.
Still alive, by the way.
No.
Still
alive. No, not Jimmy. The other one.
The other one.
Which one?
No, Jimmy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, Jesus Christ, man.
And he was agriculture commissioner of Texas.
By the way, Chris Christopherson is still alive. You know who's not?
Toby Keith.
Yeah. How do you like me now?
How do you like me now?
Me and Bobby McGee, one of my favorite songs, by the way, written by Chris Christopherson. Mm.
He's if you look on his, not the songs he performed, but his catalog of writing credits, it's pretty fucking impressive.
And we'll get to it when he fucking dies.
Dude. He's never going to die. He's 87.
Guys.
Dude.
Today's Toby's day. It's TK's day.
No.
In my world.
Willie's still alive.
Willie is still
alive.
All
those guys from that story, except for Ray Charles, are still alive.
I know. Ray.
I mean, look, you can't fucking, like, he had cancer at SAC.
He made it to like 90 or whatever. But, okay, so with you, you were a filmmaker. Was your intent to go to the Capitol to film what was going on there and be a part of it?
Yeah, it was really as a, well, I was, it was twofold. I was on, I was going as, I'm sure y'all know of Alex Stein. Do you know of
Prime Time? He's been on the show.
Okay, yeah. Prime Time 99.
I'm doing a thing with him in April, actually.
Yeah, we're big fans of his.
This is what makes my case, like in trial, made it very bizarre. My trial was 2 weeks ago, or a week ago, that I just
because you showed up in character too.
Because I was driving out there, so I would call in. He had a show before he was on the Blaze called Conspiracy Castle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, very low viewership, you know, but during COVID, I would call in as different characters because I didn't want to be, you know, I work in a very liberal industry, which I know you've worked in the film industry. It's a very liberal-minded industry.
You can't say shit.
Right. So you'll be canceled. So it was, you know, I would call in because I agreed with a lot of the stuff he was talking about, a lot of conspiratorial stuff and a lot of, you know, conservative alt-right stuff, I would say. So I'd call in as different characters. So I went out there. Literally, my buddy Brady wanted to go out there, and when he showed up at my place in Dallas, I had a whole bag full of like costumes that I was like changing out of playing different. I mean, I'm a bizarre guy. I'm an actor too. So
sure, you probably had Colonel Sanders.
I was Coffee Man.
Jim Jones.
Yeah, exactly. No, I was. I have a
JonBenet Ramsey.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Just a
Forrest Whitaker is probably in there too.
Whitaker. Yes, yes.
The hard part about that costume is the eye. No, yeah. We do blackface.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, we don't care.
We don't care.
Yeah. Who's going to cancel me? We own everything.
Yeah.
Who's going to fucking cancel us?
I can't really do anything.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was, you know, so basically I was calling in, you know, but it was this time on camera playing these different characters that I had called in before just on the telephone. But I was going to be
For example, what were the name of these characters? Like Jimmy the Klan member?
No, it was we did have a, you know, we were going to have a militia that's ironically. And I was playing all the different characters, one of which was Coffee Man, the red and white rapper. You know, yeah. And so I had I was wearing a
big fan of that.
An Afro wig, you know, an Anglo Afro wig. It was brown.
It was a white wig or a brown wig?
It was brown.
Yeah, but his hair is brown. The fucking Bee Gees all had afros.
They sure did.
I don't want to hear it.
I don't either. But did you go any makeup?
White people invented that.
Did you go any blackface?
No, it was more of like a 70s outfit, but I was also in a Texas militia. So, you know, I was on the way driving down there. That was one of the militia members. And so I was calling in, but I'd always called in and people thought I was a black man until I revealed I was a white man, you know, that talked maybe like a reverend.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway,
second mistake you've made in your life.
Well, and then I was my big character that this is what I was literally dressed as and cast as a domestic terrorist as this over-the-top Texas character. We had a pilot called Cubicle Cowboy. It's like it's what there's a lot of them in Dallas. They're the weekend cowboys. They have the South Texas ranch and they go, you know, deep sea fishing in the Gulf. And
sure,
Dallas. But they're in real estate or oil and gas. You know, they live in Highland Park or Westlake. You know, there's these one of these guys. So it's this over the top. He's, you know, not PC. So I was literally dressed that day as this over the top Texas character, had like tall top snake boots on and camo jacket. And I found in my camo jacket camo paint, which I painted up again as a joke, but not knowing what was going to happen just, you know, a few hours later, you know.
Okay, so you showed up, you got camo paint on your face.
Yes.
You're in character as a militia member. Heading to the J6 rally.
Yes, in character, in a comedic
With Alex Jones, Primetime Stein, all those guys.
Stein was not there, but I was calling in to his show. I was his satellite kind of reporter.
Oh, got it.
So I was, and he actually gave me harsh warning, just be careful, you know, as also a buddy that's a former naval intelligence guy that could warn there could be some shenanigans going on that day. So I had two warnings from people I knew very well that just said, be careful. So
you decided, okay, I trust these guys, but I'm going to go and check this out for myself and see what happens.
Well, it was going to be, you know, what we heard is one of the biggest rallies that America's ever had. I mean, and I would contest that there were at least a million people, a million and a half at the Ellipse. So that's where the initial... We got to the Ellipse, and it was what I've said. You never see the Ellipse, what happened that day. I was at the Ellipse for 4 to 5 hours. Obviously, Trump gave his speech, and it was like a patriotic. I mean, it was like a music festival meets like a 4th of July kind of celebration.
And he did say during that speech, which they refused to air this part, but it has aired in court so far, is I want you to go down to the Capitol, protest peacefully, and be out there
peacefully
and everything else.
Down to the Capitol.
And you heard all that.
Yes. But I was going around interviewing people. I mean, I'm a documentarian. I've done a couple of documentaries on top of these commercials and stuff like that. But I love, like, interviewing just different characters. So I was walking around just interviewing, you know, Cubans that escaped Castro, former CCP members. I was just going around and just people in funny, weird costumes.
Yep.
I mean, so that's what I spent most of my time going. So it was, like, all in, like, the whole, you know, it was a road trip with one of my buddies. And on top of just doing, like, I wanted, you know, I film stuff anywhere I go and document it, just being the artist. And on top of that, I'm playing these characters for Stein. And
for sure.
You know,
So Trump gives his speech.
Yeah.
You guys go down to the Capitol and you start headed down there. At what point did you decide to enter and things were starting to get out of control?
Okay, so I was last to leave the Ellipse. It had cleared out at probably like 2:30, and I was interviewing. I was interviewing people. Actually, interviewed. I'm blanking out on his name, which I should know.
Tom Cruise.
Jesus.
Yeah, Tom Cruise. Jesus. Yeah. No, it was the Army.
Sam Rockwell.
He was the Army Ranger or whatever the guy.
Pauly Shore.
In Florida, that actually, you know, he showed. He recorded the FBI.
Wilford Brimley.
Joe Biggs. He's not a Ranger though. No. He was 82nd.
He was Green Beret, actually. Green Beret.
Green Beret.
I should know his name.
Anyway, Green Beret.
Was I interviewed him, but he basically put out this, you know, he put it out after January 6th, but he was recruited to be an asset at January 6th, and he said no, but he filmed the FBI guys coming, and he's been in prison ever since then.
So
he never even went into
But when you say recruited to be an asset, by who?
By the FBI.
By the FBI.
Yes.
So in your estimation, yes, how many people were recruited as assets or
FBI
members?
You said there's video of this?
Yeah, he filmed the video.
Where is it? Is it on the internet?
You can find it on
the internet. What's it? What should he search for? I want to see this. I don't think I've seen this.
Say, former Green Beret, Florida, exposes FBI January 6th. I should know. But I actually interviewed him that day. Hmm. And he's a 3%er or, you know, there's the Proud Boys, there's 3%er. He was dressed.
What's the guy's name? Do you remember?
He's blanking on it. Forgive me, I don't even know what a 3%er is. I drink 2% milk occasionally, but that's about
3% it. 3% is what, you know, fought in the Revolutionary War, 3% of our country. So that's like, it's another group.
Oh, got it. That's a fun name. I like that a lot better than the Proud Boys. They didn't do a lot of
Well, the Proud Boys was a fucking joke.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, right. They didn't do a lot of think groups on that. Is this the interview right here, Bob? Did you find it?
No, but I found the name, I think. Jeremy Brown.
Jeremy Brown, yes.
There we go.
And I'm sorry, Jeremy, for forgetting your name. But anyway, he's a hero because he exposed being recruited as an asset on his, you know, on his porch cameras at his house in Florida. And he basically 3 months after put it out and did all these interviews and then was quickly arrested and has been in prison, ran for congressman or state rep from prison, and he's still, to my knowledge, still in prison. But I actually interviewed him, you know, it's actually
outside of the Capitol?
No, at the Ellipse.
Okay.
And he said, we're just here to peacefully make, you know, protect, you know, the speakers and make sure it was really, there was rumors of BLM and Antifa causing mischief and like, you know, causing.
Was any of that true? Because Dan and I were actually live that day for roughly 6.5 hours. And we watched it. And one of the comments that Dan and I made throughout that seemed to be a theme was it seems like these are Antifa or some other form of group because the hats were brand new. It looked like they had just been passed out. A lot of them were wearing masks, which, let's face it, most everybody on the right won't wear a mask and things like that. So it seemed odd as we were watching it.
Ross, yeah. So that's what I think. I've been loud from the get-go. I went silent for a year, but like right after this all went down because of what I experienced that day, they didn't talk to any of us that were actually there. The legacy media, which I've been part of, you know, working in media. I worked at Warner Brothers, NBC Universal in LA for many years, part of the corporate branded media, but they didn't interview any of the people that are actually there, you know, about what went down. It was our elected officials, mm-hmm. and the narrative was already, by the time I got back to the hotel that night, worse than 9/11 and Pearl Harbor and the Civil War.
Yep.
And what I experienced 90% of the day was completely the most peaceful and patriotic, you know, God-fearing, great Americans. There were just pockets of violence that, you know, being a media guy, I saw high-end little skeleton camera crews that were, you know, focusing on just the violence. And then when I got back to the hotel, that's what you saw. You didn't see the 60 to 70,000 people that I walked up through on my way to the Capitol. When I didn't get up there until about 4 o'clock.
Okay.
So going back, I left the Ellipse and I had a pro camera, you know, in my backpack. I'm wearing a camo backpack. So it looks, you know, it just the whole, I look like
a militia member. Yeah.
But it was a camera backpack. It was like my camera gear. My cameras both were dead. And so I was going to literally go take a nap. And there was supposed to be some like dance party at 6 p.m. that I wanted to film and go take a nap at like 3, and had no intention to go to the Capitol. There were supposed to be speakers. We heard, you know, that Alex Jones and Franklin Graham and some other speakers were going to be speaking there. And to me, it was like a progressive, like, you know, rally that people were going from the Ellipse to the Capitol. And all of us J6ers have been charged with trespassing,
mm-hmm.
you know, but by the time I got there at 3:45, 4 o'clock, and there's video evidence that the prosecution used against me, there's 60,000, 70,000 people there. It's like a stadium full of people. It's not the near amount there were at the Ellipse, but I was walking down Pennsylvania and was going back to my hotel, and three guys, like you said it, in brand new Trump hats.
Mm-hmm.
This was 3 blocks away, came running up to me, and this is the line that I continuously heard that day. It was like, there's people dying inside the Capitol. We need patriots. And I was like, this is bullshit. I was like, why are they running away and trying to recruit people, you know, 3 blocks away? It didn't make sense. They were young guys. And I had studied the crowd pretty well from my 4 or 5 hours at the Ellipse, and these guys did not look like they were your typical Trump supporters. I mean, one, just the new hats, and I didn't see people wearing Make America Great hats really at all.
Right.
You know, until I got up to the Capitol. So this was a line, though, that it was like straight out of, you know, their script that they kept repeating. There are patriots dying. We need, you know, there's people dying, and we need patriots up here. I heard people that were
specifically
walking
away in the Capitol.
That were people, yeah, dying okay. inside the Capitol.
Okay.
And then there's a woman that died. There's a woman, you know. And then, you
well,
know,
that did happen.
That did happen.
Well,
Ashley Babbitt.
Right. But there's people. That's what I heard first. But it was like that was the line they got to repeat. And it was like they're walking. I was like, why are you walking away? Why are you walking away doing this? Anyway, so I walked through the crowd. And it was literally when I got up there, it was I didn't see any violence. until I, you know, and it was set up. They had scaffolding towers and a stage set up, which I just was there, you know, a week ago for my trial. And it was for the inauguration that was happening on the 20th. It was odd that they already had that set up, the scaffolding towers. I believe that was part of the rally, a continuation of the ellipse. So as I walked up there, then I started, you know, people were literally singing, you know, Star Spangled Banner, Amazing Grace. The whole crowd was singing this. It was peaceful. And then as you got closer, you started seeing flashbangs where these lit up, you know, which I'd never seen before, thrown into peaceful people singing.
Yeah, we've seen that video now. Not just flashbangs, but fucking stun grenades. Mm-hmm. And
rubber bullets.
I can't remember what the device is called, but it's basically a grenade that fires rubber pellets everywhere.
Rubber pellets.
Yeah.
We played that video a couple months ago.
We showed some of the victims from it.
At this time, people are still behind the barrier just standing there. And there's cops standing in front of them. They're having conversations, and all of a sudden, these dicks up on the fucking scaffolding start launching, some of them with a 40-millimeter launcher, right?
Yep.
Into the meat of the crowd, like behind the front row of protesters for some reason, right?
Yeah, and Bob, I believe you've got the video now of your buddy here.
Jeremy Brown.
Okay.
I think so.
Yeah, okay, Tim, go ahead and play it.
Okay.
It's a fun intro.
That's from,
I think this is InfoWars.
It's InfoWars. I like
it. In December of 2020, federal agents Lindsay and Ura approached Mr. Jeremy Brown at his home and asked him if he would be a paid informant for the government. They asked him to infiltrate some groups they were looking at involving concerns they had about an event in January. Mr. Brown recorded this conversation, and instead of working for the government on January 6th, he went on as many media outlets that would have him, starting in March of 2021, and played the recording. He named the agents and exposed what they wanted him to do.
So, it's no big deal. We just had to come out.
I've worked with JTTF before, so I'm familiar.
Might in the future.
So, see, there you have it. Well, you might in the future.
So, we don't care which way you lean.
Right.
We just want to make sure that you're not targeting anybody and nobody's going to get hurt over the outcome in January. We love to hear from you. And again, I can't make any promises, but like, you provide information that prevents something big, the government pays for that. Like, we think that we can help you, you can help us, and we can definitely, on this side of things, less aggravation. You're one of 19 people that we're going to knock on the door and say they're not home, or they are home, and we're like,
one of 19 people. These two guys, not the 58 other agents that he's about to explain that there's 60 of them in Tampa. But I'm just one of 19.
As a result of his righteous actions, the government had him arrested after an illegal search of his home on September of 2021. And after nearly 2.5 years in federal prison, Jeremy has filed for an appeal. Jeremy's legal team is presenting forensic evidence that show the unregistered explosive grenades and the national defense documents that Jeremy was said to have illegally been in possession of were planted in his home by government agents during an illegal search. The first thing the agents did when they entered Mr. Brown's home for their search was turn off all 14 recording devices, and none of these agents had any functioning body cameras. The only person recording was Jeremy's girlfriend, who recorded the arrest by Agent Lindsay and Ura, who instructed her to stop recording, which she did. They were very deliberate in making sure nothing was recorded during their search. During this search, they allegedly found 2 explosive grenades and a CD containing national defense documents, items that Mr. Brown denied knowing anything about. The grenades were tested for DNA, and the FBI's own experts found 2 male specimen DNAs on the grenades, none of which were from Jeremy Brown. They found a dog hair underneath one of the grenades. Mr. Brown has 2 dogs.
I know that dog.
So the FBI got a search warrant, took over 50 samples from his dogs, and determined that the hair on the grenade was not from his dogs. They found a carpet fiber on the tape around one of the grenades. So they get another search warrant, cut out pieces of Jeremy's carpet, and compare the fibers to the one that was found with the grenade.
Okay, you can cut it right here, Bob.
It was not.
So with all of this, essentially what you're saying and what he's saying is people were recruited. to come up to the Capitol in January. If they didn't do it, and they knew about it, and they could potentially talk. Obviously, he was doing interviews, as we showed there on the screen here on Drink a Rose Podcast on Patreon. Because he refused to participate in January 6th, they then went to his house, planted evidence, and had him arrested so he wouldn't talk.
I think he had already spoken up. He had already blown the whistle, and then I think because he was a whistleblower, they came after him, you know, and planted the evidence is because he was trying to do a patriotic thing to expose what, you know, this was after the fact, 3 months after January 6th. Like, this is, he was trying to help punch holes in the story that, you know, maybe there was some elements of this that wasn't kosher, you know, as far as.
Gotcha. But he never actually went, correct?
He went up to, he never walked in the Capitol. He walked up on the grounds.
You know, okay.
Which anybody walked on the grounds or was there that day stormed the Capitol.
Right.
Like, that's a the dog whistle term.
As of right now, they're saying about 1,200 Americans have been charged with federal crimes for their role in January 6th.
Yeah, but they're I think 2 months ago we did a story that they're going to expand their arrests now to people who are just hanging out outside as well, right?
They're arresting
or at least that's what Mayorkas said. Yeah. But I think he may have just been trying to.
They're arresting an average of one person a day. So.
No, they're still going after him. Yeah, we're seeing these videos every single day. So according to the time frame that all of this was going down, and obviously, again, I'm going to go back to when we were live on air. Was switching from Central Time because we were here back to East Coast time. It seemed like people started to enter right around 4:30 p.m.-ish, somewhere in there.
No, it was they entered the Capitol way earlier.
Way earlier than that. Yeah. Okay.
1:30, 2 o'clock.
1:30, 2 o'clock. No shit.
Because Ashley Babbitt's death was, I believe, don't quote me, but I think it was 2:30 or something like that.
Gotcha. Because we could only see what was going on outside the Capitol via C-SPAN and everything else. Right. We couldn't see what was going on inside the Capitol, so we didn't know until the following day with all of this. At what point were you there and you decided, hey, I'm going to go into the Capitol and check this out?
Well, to clarify, I never went inside the Capitol.
At all?
At all.
So where did you stop then?
So, okay, so I walked directly up through the crowd, and where I landed was up on the stage, which I didn't even know was a stage at that point. You know,
but that scaffolding?
The scaffolding tower, and below it was the inaugural stage. And there's the West Terrace Tunnel, and that's actually the tunnel where Biden and Trump walked through to come onto that stage on Inauguration Day.
Yep.
Okay, walked down it. Okay. So I ended up below that stage, or below that tunnel on the West Terrace. I mean, I walked directly up there, but that's when I started seeing the flashbangs, the rubber bullets. And honestly, the median age that day was boomer age. I mean, it was older people, and some of them were complaining that they're, I don't know if I want to walk all the way to the Capitol because it's about a mile walk. So they were firing in, and that caused this chaos and confusion into a peaceful crowd that were literally at one point, like I said, singing Amazing Grace. Okay, so then I get up there. You see questionable characters. And this is one I have to say, and I've said it on a couple of interviews. And I've worked, you know, as being in the film business, I've worked with it before. But this guy walked down, and he was saying the same thing. Walked through the crowd. It was like, there's people dying inside the tunnel now, okay? And he's got blood running down his face. And I'm like, that looks fake as shit. And as I got closer.
The blood looked fake?
The blood looked fake. And as I got closer, I walked it. I rubbed it. And it was syrupy fake blood.
Corn sucrope. Or sucrose is what they use.
Corn syrup and red 40.
Correct.
That's how you make blood.
So it was complete. And he was, you know, and I was like, why are you? It's like, this is fake blood. And I felt led to go up there. I'm a spiritual person. I'm a Christian. I felt up there, if there was, you know, anything going on, to pray and keep people calm, because I thought this, I mean, I walked up there with kind of, you know, the scales off my eyes, looking for anything that looked, you know, because I walked up there at 4 o'clock, and I was like, this seems off. This is the most peaceful day I've seen up until 3:45, and now they're shooting into the same crowd that I've been around all day. So I walked, and so it was, I mean, I testified that, I said this in court, that it was, you know, fake blood, and I wouldn't know that if I hadn't recognized it in my career. And so
what did the prosecutors say to you?
I mean, they didn't deny, I mean, they try to make me look like a conspiracy theorist and all that, but I mean, this is what I saw. This is my testimony as a filmmaker, you know. And so I gave my full, I mean, my story hasn't changed for 3 years, And that's where we have, you know, a lot of J6ers that are speaking up. We have the truth on our side, past the propagandized bullshit media, you know, that I've worked in for 20 years. That we knew we were there, we stood and saw a peaceful crowd being fired upon. And there were provocateurs. There were people dressed in these, what do you call them, black op kind of attire, the turtle shells and stuff like that. That did not look like Trump supporters, whether they were Antifa or whatever.
But feds or something like that.
Well, we also know, I mean, we know feds, at least 250 feds were dressed as Trump supporters. Were they provocateurs? I don't know. So, I mean, these are all questions that should be answered in a real, in a real court of law. And I mean, this fake bullshit one they did was all scripted for TV. But as I walked up there, they're people breaking the windows and people are yelling Antifa and trying to stop them. And there's people trying to stop the people trying to break the windows. And this is another thing. They had the most, I've seen video and they had the most random shit. They were throwing shit up there. Like what I'm involved in is a crutch was thrown.
The crutch there. So is this you talking about? That's the guy with the crutch?
That's me.
That's you?
Yes.
You're the fucking guy with the crutch?
Yes. That's me.
Wow.
So
dude.
I'm the insurrection hunters called me. Yeah.
I want to go back to what you said then about stopping at the scaffolding. All right. So I know the inauguration site very, very well.
Okay.
You're up in it. Like, that's where the presidents, Biden, Trump, Obama, that's where they are coming out. You're well past the scaffolding at this point.
The scaffolding is surrounding that area.
It is, but you're heading in right now. Because I mean, you're very close.
I'm up on the staircase. Yes, because, well, to back up, what happened before this moment, which there's video. If you look under, if you look Rumble, go to Luke Coffey Rumble, you could find the video of my whole incident. But anyway, there was... What had happened, they were telling people that, you know, there were, so they had left that tunnel unguarded for 3 hours. I've seen the time lapse of it.
Uh-huh.
People walked in into the Capitol at that point. People had already gone in the Capitol out here. At this point, I walked up because they said people were dying inside the tunnel. Okay. So then I get up there and it's completely sandwiched sardines. I can barely see, but there's like what ends up being 30 or 40, you know, cops in full riot gear, a lot of which are DC Metro cops that are now aiding the Capitol Police.
All right, so we have the video of you here, Bob. No, play this video.
No, you don't see much. So I think
that's all right.
It's the one on Rumble. Can you play?
Yeah,
Rumble. Would you know
even this one right here?
Rumble.
Okay, so back that up 10 seconds, Bob, because you're the guy with the crutch, correct?
Yes,
that's you. All right, so you're. It appears as if you're heading in now. Let this play, Bob. All right, so are the Capitol Police forcing you out at this point?
Well, to set this up, so before this, they had gassed the tunnel and pushed all these people tumbling down the stairs, okay?
Okay.
And there were women, I hear women screaming, I can't breathe. It was four people deep, okay? They had gassed the tunnel. All the cops are in full gas masks. You're not supposed to gas a closed environment like that, you know? It caused chaos. It caused people... to waterfall down the staircase, okay?
Pause this right there, Bob. Go ahead.
And so what had happened is they were pushed all down the stairs. And if you play, go to my...
Well, hang on. In this video, before we go to yours, I'm going to complete this one here.
Yeah.
It appears as if someone did throw the crutch inside the building. Was that you or somebody else?
No. It was thrown at my feet before I walked up there.
Okay, and then you grabbed the crutch.
That was a different, like, stick or something that got thrown in.
Okay,
it was thrown up right before I walked.
All right, but because it was not your crutch, correct?
It was not my crutch.
You grab the crutch, you go full Ferris Bueller at the parade, and...
No, I said stop.
Okay.
Before that, you'll see, there's a, you know, in my other video, you'll see, before this all happened, there were women screaming, and I'm saying stop and pray, and that became my most wanted... on the FBI poster, stop and pray. They called it the High Five Cowboy. The insurrection hunters, sedition hunters called it the High Five Cowboy. But I was telling people to stop and pray because I couldn't help these people underneath. There were women underneath a pile screaming for their life, okay? And because they had tumbled down, it was chaos and pandemonium. And I kind of went, I was, there were good men trying to help these specifically, if there's a fire and women are there or children, I'm running towards it. I've lost what led me out of L.A. I lost my fiance in an accident we were in Hollywood 15 years ago. And I would put myself in front of any, especially any woman or child, before I would give my life up for to have another family not have to go through what my fiance's family has gone through, or it's my girlfriend's family. So I hear women screaming and crying. So I couldn't help them. There's a woman that this is one reason I do press. Everybody knows about Ashley Babbitt. There's a woman named Roseanne Boyland that was killed right next to me.
Mm-hmm.
Whether she suffocated or from being trampled, or she was beaten by a cop named Lila Morris, who I'm accused of assaulting, who beat me and her with a wooden stick.
Okay.
So if you go to Rumble Luke Coffee, my channel, it should be there. But anyway, she actually died there. Okay. And all these men before this are saying there's a woman up there that needs help. They're telling the police, help this woman. She needs help. She's not breathing. They didn't think she was breathing. And so it calmed down for a second after this overflow of people. And there were four of us men that were like, we need to do something so this doesn't happen again. And they're saying there's still people trapped up there. So that's when it's the one with my, it's the third one right there.
With Tom Cruise?
No, that's my old stupid.
Is that you?
From like, yeah, shit, dude. 20 years ago.
Dude. Young Tom Cruise, brother.
No free ads, though.
For who?
But anyway,
there's a lot of Rumble pre-roll.
Oh, I thought you meant for Tom Cruise. I was like, I'll give TC a free
He doesn't ad. Need any ads from us.
I mean, if you play this is, we'll set up what I...
Okay.
Can you play the audio, too?
All right, and there's you right there in the middle of it. And right now
stop
you're saying...
And pray.
Stop and pray.
I said it 10 times. You can see me. I wanted to walk up as peacefully as I could. But there was, they said, a woman, which I'd seen Roseanne at the top of this tunnel.
So is look she at, in this video?
Look at her being, okay, so this cop is, see her beating the person on the ground?
Yep.
There's a woman down there named Roseanne Boylan that died.
Gotcha.
Okay, she has hit me with the stick too. And one of my charges was assaulting this woman.
Who is this officer here with a stick beating her?
One of the heroes of January 6th. Her name is Lila Morris. She included one of the four to five heroes. She was flown to the Super Bowl and given hero status. And she was... So I pick up the crutch, said, in the name of Jesus, God, please stop this. I was like, we're all Americans. Stop. You know, there's people under here. And I've never wanted to use this woman's death, like, as anything to get... But... So basically, you see me.
And they're shooting tear gas out at you
there?
Bear
mace, basically.
Bear mace. Okay. It was OC spray and pepper gel. But so I did. So you see me, blocks, shit that's thrown. But I did push. I push against the line. And then in another video, you see her being. Okay. See me get hit right here. But I come up. There's Roseanne's belly right there on the ground. You see a. So she's hit me with a stick. The woman.
So that's a female police officer?
Yes.
No shit.
Moore, a black female police officer named Lila Moore. Beating an unconscious white woman. And I say that because. So I was sprayed. They said upwards 13 to 14 times, direct in the face and then beaten in the head.
Okay, so from this footage right here, was that the furthest you made it?
No, I push against the police line right there. So that's. Assault with a deadly weapon.
Because you have the crutch in your hand.
Yes.
Okay. Now, did you make it any further? Did you actually ever enter that little area there? Or is that as far as you went, right there?
That's as far as I went.
Okay.
So, if I pushed against the line, for, I think, like, they said 20 seconds, but then I get pushed back and push the other cop... In the trial, that Lila Morris said I never touched her, and that's one of the two officers I'm accused of assaulting. The other officer I touched for 3 seconds, and he patted me on the head.
And what is that, coconut water you're trying to pour into your eyes?
Yeah, somebody gave me green juice, and actually it was the only thing that helped.
Okay.
Naked juice.
Naked juice, yeah.
Naked juice.
The water.
Look at that.
There's
was
my...
J6, was that, were they a sponsor, J6? Naked juice?
It was Guerrilla Marketing, yeah.
Yeah. Luke, you've been on podcasts before. You know we got some sponsors that put this shit wagon on the air. We got to get to them quick, and we'll get back to your crazy story here, man. First and foremost, today is mybookie.com. Promo code DRINKINBROS doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Super Bowl weekend is here, kids. We're in it, right? We're making all our bets. I'm all in on the Chiefs. +2. I'm probably going to bet the money line on it. You can get rid of the points for me. Don't need it. You're not stopping Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift from taking over the entire world. I'm sorry. I'm not betting against the Chiefs this weekend. It could be a blowout, too. They look nervous. 49ers look nervous at the presser. I don't know that I've seen a team with this many excuses already before the Super Bowl. I'm all in on the Chiefs. There's nothing I can do about that. And the beauty of it is you can bet with me or against me on this, although I have won the last 6 Super Bowls in a row. I've never missed on this show, which is crazy, whether it's the spread or against it or all that other fun stuff, including the year. I know what you're saying, Ross. Hey, dude, what about the year the Falcons lost? Barrah! Had the spread on that, man, and they came back. So, sorry. I still won, but I lost. Trust me, I would have rather lost all my money and had the fucking Falcons win that one. But it is what it is. Therefore, I'm going with my heart here on this one. It's got to be the Chiefs all day. Ton of prop bets over there. Over 350 on the Super Bowl, including Reba. Is Reba going to go over or under on the national anthem? That's fun. Post Malone. Cutaways to Taylor Swift are on there if you want to get your lady involved in the big game as well. And then squares. A lot of people do squares throughout the neighborhood. Now you can do it on mybookie.com. I did it last year for the first time and won $500. Rocked. You can't watch this game without something on it. Currently. There is an all-time record. It has hit $57 million as of today as far as money that has gone on this game. It will only increase as the week goes on over there. It's going to get nuts. Go to mybookie.com. Type in the promo code DRINKINBROS to double that first deposit up to $1,000 and put something on it. Daytona 500 is the weekend afterwards, too, dude. You can win a lot of money on that as well or on our golf show that I do with Delco Dan over there on Drinking Bros Sports. Next up, we got Manscaped.com. Promo code Drinking Bros is going to get you 20% off at checkout over there and free shipping. So if you're getting ready for Valentine's Day and don't know what gift to give the man in your life, no worries. Manscaped is here to save your love story with the all-new Performance Package 5.0 Ultra. Snag 20% off plus free shipping with the code DRINKINBROS at checkout. It is the ultimate gift to elevate his grooming game and keep the romance alive all year round. Cupid approved over there. Big fan of it. What's in this bag? A lot. You got the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. That's for the pubes. Now you also got the Manscaped Refined Cologne in this. This is a new one. They have not been doing colognes. They're doing colognes now. And that's what adds the Valentine's Day touch to this grooming routine over here. The package also features the Weed Whacker nose hair trimmer. You can also use that for the ears as well. Manscaped's liquid formulations and 2 free goodies. Which are the Shed Travel Bag and the Boxer 2.0 over there, because comfort is king for your guy. And for the bearded kings out there, Manscaped is also bringing you the Beard Hedger Pro Kit, designed to shape his scruff effortlessly, sculpting those cheek lines and maintaining beard styles, giving him that suave look for those romantic moments. Seamlessly handling even thicker beards is perfect It's the perfect tool to get a polished, date-ready appearance. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Drinkin' Bros at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Again, you got to use that promo code Drinkin' Bros, brother. Here's to keeping the romance alive, one smooth move at a time. Next up, we got BubsNaturals.com. Promo code Drinkin' Bros is once again being used over there for 20% off. Let's go. Look, Bubs Naturals is providing the best collagen protein on the planet and the best MCT oil powder there is. That MCT oil powder will be your new favorite functional coffee creamer. And it's also vegan and keto-friendly over there. MCT oil powder is for mental focus and energy. Bubs was named after Glenn Bub Doherty, who tragically lost his life saving Americans in Benghazi. Glenn's call sign in the Navy was Bub. And Glenn Bub Doherty stood for self-improvement and was always helping others, and that DNA is woven into the Bubs brand. Bubs donates 10% of all profits to charity in Glenn's honor, starting with the Glenn Doherty Memorial Foundation. On Veterans Day, 100% of the proceeds go to the Glenn Doherty Foundation, along with that collagen protein, which, look, let's face it, anybody over the age of 25 needs to be taking every day, and the MCT oil powder. Highly recommend their apple vinegar gummies to start the day. Just pop two of those in your mouth in the morning. You're good to go. Head on over to BubsNaturals.com. Use the code Drinkin' Bros for 20% off. These are supplements that you're going to be buying anyways and taking. You might as well do it and order it from a company that supports veterans. Go to BubsNaturals.com, promo code Drinkin' Bros for 20% off over there. Last but not least, HardAFSeltzer.com. We're live. Florida, Georgia, Texas, Alabama, Tennessee, North Carolina, and Ohio. Talking about it at the top with my bookie, but the big game's coming up. Get yourself a 12-pack of 8% hard AF seltzer. No carbs, no sugars, no gluten if you give a fuck about that. We're virtually in every single Total Wine now in the Southeast. I know we've sold out a lot in Texas. It'll be restocked here by Thursday, I was assured, so you can go back to head over there. Also at the HEBs, head on up to that Nutty Brown location in Austin, or the one in Dripping Springs, or the one by Oak Hill in the Y. If you're in Austin, grab yourself a 12-pack for the big game. If you're watching the big game at bars and restaurants, plenty to do that around the country. Columbus, Ohio, you can head into Short North Pint House down there in downtown, or Urban Myers Pint House out in Dublin. Standard Hall on campus, you can rock. Tuscaloosa, you head on down to Ramajama and watch the big game there. Wilmington, North Carolina, if you want a pregame, go to Brunches. Load up. Best brunch I've ever had in my life over there. They're serving hard AF seltzers. And that Total Wine in Wilmington, North Carolina is all stocked up as well. And then if you're at the universities, let's say you're partying, University of Tennessee, head on into University Liquors there. Auburn, head on down to Tiger Liquors over there. Corks and Forks in Tuscaloosa. And at University of Georgia, you got ABC Liquors on campus. Head on over to hardafseltzer.com today. Type in your city or zip on that store locator to take you to the closest location nearest you. If you're not in one of those states or the surrounding states, we still ship right to your house at hardafseltzer.com. Support us and support the show. Look, it makes me want to buy some. If it can clear up bear mace to your eyes, I'm all in on Naked Juice. Okay, you can stop it there. All right, so we've seen how far you got. It ended there. You went out, you put the Naked Juice in your eyes, you're all done. Do you stay, or do you go back to the hotel? What do you do after this?
I go immediately. Like, they started, you know, this is another thing. We all have trespassing charges. By the time I got up there, I saw no signage, there was not one cop that told us not to be there, that the audio system they finally started using at 5:30 that afternoon that said, you know, you're illegally here. Mm-hmm. And so everybody started leaving, and that's when they started with the tear gas. They didn't even give people, there were two exits off that stage, and these two stairwells, and they started shooting the tear gas as people were leaving. And to me, you know, as the pyrotechnics, all that stuff made it look more just for as from a media perspective, much more violent than it really was. I mean, you're firing you know, fog and tear gas.
Looks like WrestleMania.
Yeah. It looks much more violent. And again, that where I was, the West Terrace Tunnel, that was where the most, you know, violence was happening. And to be clear, there were, whether they were Trump supporters or provocateurs or assets or whatever, there were people beating on the cops, but there were also out of control, you know, police violence that day that has been shown, that is now coming out. I mean, that's what's crazy is we watched BLM and, you know, Antifa burned down cities for, you know, the summer of love. And now we can't think that maybe there was some police violence that was going on that day that, you know, that were provocating and irritating and causing this chaos and this chaotic situation. And there were good men, righteous men that were trying to de-escalate. They were trying to help Roseanne Boylan. She was dragged through that tunnel like a dead deer. And like after 10, 15 minutes of them trying to get the cops to help her. And I think they thought, I think Lila Morris thought she was a man, and she testified at my trial. She was the first, this is the first trial she's testified at, but she said she was, you know, they were trying to make her like the victim, you know, mm-hmm. And she beat her three times in the head and in the stomach. And I mean, it's, you know, this is police brutality to an unconscious woman, you know, and what they did in the media to her, Ross, and Dan, I mean, it was disgusting. They made her like she's just a crazy QAnon person. I mean, this is a person's life, you know, and she died of a drug overdose. She had Adderall in her system. She had a prescription for Adderall. She had been a recovered addict for 10 years or 9 years, but they totally persecuted. CNN did a whole special on her, but they've been trying to bury this. And the New York Times said I was preventing the cops from rendering aid. And if you see the other video that is in my evidence, they actually pull her out as I'm holding up the crutch, and it's the protesters that start doing CPR. And then these two guys that are heroes in my book, that the Westerberry brothers, get shields and make this space. And I felt called to like go make a gap, be a peacemaker. I didn't want to be on either side, but I looked obviously like a domestic terrorist. I wanted to be just bring peace to a moment where they could rescue these people that I thought were trapped under that could die, and obviously one did. And so they finally brought her up after I tumbled down the stairs and made it. That's when when they started telling everyone to leave, and they have a system there. They waited till 5:30 to start telling people to leave. Why didn't they use that system? The only person I heard on a bullhorn was this, they call him a scaffolding commander, that was telling, get your weapons and move forward. Like no cop even got on a bullhorn and told people to leave in the area I was in. Okay. So that's, that being said, I've made it back. I mean, we used the video of, there's a girl named, she goes by Patriot Barbie online, Lindsey Graham, who actually gave me the green juice, and she testified along with my buddy. And they basically, they were threatening that charges could come, you know, if they did testify. They chose to still do it because they were both there that day. And so she actually helped me with that green juice. I went back to the hotel, and they were already saying this is worse than 9/11 Pearl Harbor. And I was like, this is the, you know, this is bullshit.
Yeah. No. And again, Dan and I were on that day, so I remember it. A lot of laughter out of this side, but you know, obviously we're a comedy show,
right?
How long until you're contacted afterwards that you will stand trial for being there and being an insurrectionist?
Well, so
air quotes, it's at January 6th.
Right. So again, they use these dog whistle terms, insurrectionist, they storm the Capitol. That, you know, we were already branded in the media. That's what sucks about any of us J6ers. We were already convicted by public opinion in the media. And you know, I have conservative friends and family members that initially bought into, you know, the lies of the media, what they were saying. And it's like, why would you even go up there? And it was like, because I had intention to help people and bring peace. And that's the truth of what I was attempting to do. And, but it was, we were already branded this and basically on the way back. I mean, we were going to go to Nashville, do kind of a boys trip, go to Atlanta, go hunting. And we just went directly back the next day to Texas. And I was live streaming with on Facebook and on Stein's show and saying what you're being told in the media is a complete lie. And I was like, this is, you know, and so I looked like a crazy conspiracy theorist and, you know, immediately got the worst, most hateful thing. Cause the crutch guy, they're showing this over and over on CNN and then it comes out who I am. And TMZ is showing it that, you know, actor Luke Coffey is attacks people with a crutch. And they used an angle that when I got pushed back, I got up and it's like one frame of the video where I'm like this, where, you know,
appears as if you're attacking.
Yeah. Someone, that I'm using it like that, like a spear. And that's one of the plea deals. They wanted me to admit that I joined a mob of Trump supporters and used the crutch as a spear, which is an absolute complete lie showed by the video evidence. So, and that's what they're doing with a lot of us, is they're scaring us into plea deals. They're trying to deplete our resources financially, you know, shame us in the media. I mean, we are the untouchables. We're like modern day lepers. It's been hard to get legal, you know, help. You know, there's patriotic lawyers are like, I'm sorry, my law firm doesn't want to touch this. I'd love to help you, Luke, you know? So
no, I get it. So who ends up representing you and how do you even approach that conversation? Because you're right. After it happens, nobody wanted to touch any of these fucking cases. A lot of them ended up with the public process.
But if you're a kitty diddler or a rapist, hey, that's fine. I mean, that's what's just so messed up about this. I mean, it's upside down.
But a lot of these were public defenders who took on these cases.
Well, and I think they targeted.
Is that what happened to you, or did you end up getting a lawyer?
No, I got a lawyer, but I think they targeted. I would. This is my estimate based on. And a lot of people have this opinion. They went after a lot of people that didn't have the resources to hire, you know, good lawyers in general too. But on top of that, it's just hard to find them. I found a Dallas lawyer, but this is after they said I hit out. So I made it back to Dallas and, you know, I know a lot of people in Dallas. I have a family. I have like a big, huge family. My grandfather was a judge there. And so I have like, it was overwhelming how many immediate messages I was getting from people shaming me, telling, you know, that I'm on the FBI most wanted list. But the FBI hasn't called me, and then they finally call me and say I'm not a suspect, and I said, take me off the damn list. We're on billboards. They have us on billboards in Dallas, me holding up my hands, and I was telling people to stop and pray, and they're using this as the most wanted poster of the FBI. So, and we're insurrectionists, domestic terrorists, and, you know. So immediately I went in this, like, preservation mode of, like, I want to tell the truth of what I saw that day, but – you know, and also my business that I built from nothing for 14 years is in jeopardy because I'm hired as my name, Luke Coffey, not my Coffee Productions, my company. No, they're hiring me as a director, and they don't want to work with the insurrection. So all these things. So anyway, I ended up getting out of debt. My buddy was like, come to my ranch, bro, in Comfort. And so that's where this whole Texas Monthly bullshit came from, was I went down there, but I immediately had already talked to the FBI, who was in contact. I think I talked to him 14 or 15 times over 3 weeks, and I told him my story from the beginning. I did push against the line of police, but it was I was hit 7 times in the head and shoulders. I stood there and took it for 30 seconds, 40 seconds, and then I pushed against the line, made it space, and they removed Roseanne, and it actually accomplished what I was trying to do, was be able to give a break in the violence and in the chaos. So I made it to Comfort. Then the FBI agent, Agent Hillman, hey, Agent Hillman, calls me and says, Mr. Coffey, there's some new video evidence. It's not looking good for you. And I said, well, then you're going to need to talk to my lawyer. I didn't have a lawyer at the time. And so I quickly found someone through a family friend in Dallas that, you know, is a conservative guy. And he negotiated for me to turn myself in Dallas. And I let him, you know, search my place and my vehicle. And, you know, and so I turned myself in. They put me in Lou Sterrett in Dallas until I was transferred to a federal holding facility with convicted felons, you know, and I haven't even been indicted yet. They put me in, you know, and I was in a chain, belly chain. My legs were chained. And walking, and I've played a prisoner, I've played a domestic terrorist, all in TV stuff. So it was just like, is this really happening? And on top of that, half my family, like, is very, my Austin side is very liberal. So they think I'm a terrorist. My conservative side doesn't understand why I would even go up there. You need to turn yourself in. I was like, I'm going to, but I wasn't, you know. Anyway, there was just, it was chaos and craziness. They nuked my Facebook account. And this is another thing that is worth discussing. They have 17,000 pages of my social media history. I mean, I have four films and like my company, you know, page and everything from Facebook, Instagram, from back to 2006. Mm. These are private direct messages to people. Every like, every comment from someone's comment on my page, their comment on theirs, they have all of that. 17,000 pages.
Well, I will say this. The feds just gave access in Twitter to Trump's DMs for one of these cases that he's currently in. Mm-hmm. That's not, terribly shocking at this
point. I hope
the
DMs are a lot like the Vince McMahon text messages.
Same here. I hope
he's talking about black cocks and dumping out on people and everything else.
Yeah.
Now, I read an article last night. It was about your defense. Specifically about the crutch thing and how there's a I haven't seen this part, but there's a period where you swing the crutch at some point is what I read. But what's that about?
Yeah, they tried to when basically.
Can you guys find that part of the video? I don't know where that is.
I have been looking for a while. I have
Is it just
so
when
far.
You were like jabbing someone, or is it different?
I fall back after the guy. So the second cop I push against. For 3 seconds, he pats me on the head and says, "We're good, bro. We're good, bro." This is all in.
They're talking about the cop pats you on the head.
The cop pats me on the hat. Mm. The second cop I allegedly assaulted, and I fall back, and so the crutch comes down like that, and I'm like holding it like this. So they're trying to claim that I swung it at the cop. It swung down in a swing motion, and so if you look pattern of my pattern that day was I was. Trying to bring peace. I wasn't trying to attack the cops, but I mean, it was they're using he like catches it as it comes down. I was never swinging at it, and I wouldn't swing it like that. So that's I'd love to see what article that is.
Well, looking at this and looking at the footage and everything else, can you kind of understand where they thought maybe this guy could be swinging a crutch around or potentially use it on me?
Well, I pushed.
As
I mean,
all
no,
these people
no,
are
no, no doubt.
Going
I pushed against the police line. I would never.
Right.
So
because we had the QAnon shaman on the show here, right?
Yeah.
And right after he got out of jail and everything else, and I asked him the same question I'm about to ask you: do you think there should be any jail time for this? And if so, what would that be? Because some of this is questionable at the time, and as emotions are running high on both sides,
right.
You see what the optics look like on something like this,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, but what I'm charged with intent of bodily harm or death. So my intent of trespassing, I had to knowingly trespass, which I did not know, with a dangerous weapon, the crutch, deadly or dangerous weapon, which potentially that, I mean, that's the one I could get 5 or 6 years,
mm-hmm.
You know, was I using it a deadly weapon? It hasn't been shown as such.
No, and the answer appears to be no. There's somebody else attacking with a stick there, but that's clearly not you.
Yeah.
Well, and there's other officers.
Right.
That's not him.
That's
with
where
the crutch
gets thrown in front of him.
Well, you see, that guy is jabbing it.
This guy is jabbing with the crutch, but that is
and
not
you. And there's people
you.
Swinging it like a baseball bat and all that.
And a fucking
but there is,
right.
American there is
flag.
Use of, if there's,
that's a hockey
there,
stick.
It's in the DOJ. Use of lethal force is, I mean, spraying, you know, I was not the instigator. I was standing, it's very misleading that I was 6 to 8 feet back from the police line, and they're spraying me, hit me in the head and face. So there is a fight or flight self-defense response, but it would be a more self-preservation response more than anything. And being, you know, I've been concussed and it's, you know, had my bell rung. I played college football. So, I mean, there's a natural response to being attacked. So,
well, you probably are getting swung at because this retard behind you is trying to hit
the cops
with a stick.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not seeing the people swing in. I'm not.
And that's the other part about it. So, like, you know, 80% of our audience is military and first responders. I'm going to take the angle of a first responder here on just for this one. There's not that many of them. There's a shit ton of people on the outside of this.
No, there's 40 police officers with shields and riot gear.
40 is not a lot compared to what's out here.
I mean, this is the Battle of Thermopylae, right? It's a famous battle.
Mm-hmm.
Like you lead the enemy into a tunnel like this because numbers don't matter there, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why they have it set up this way. So
they
40, 40 officers can hold that for sure.
Okay, and so do you think that they were shifting you guys there on purpose to this one entry point?
My opinion is they left it unguarded, let people walk through in the Capitol for 3 hours. Then they came with all this backup and pushed people out. So, you know, it looks very, it becomes this battle because these people have unknowingly walked into a tunnel that they thought they were, I didn't know where it led. I've never been to the cap, that side of the Capitol. Mm-hmm. I've been to the outside, the front of the Capitol, which I've prayed at before. I that's for another event. So I've been on Capitol grounds and never thought I was trespassing. So I think people unknowingly just walked up, and then there were people from behind saying heave ho that got caught up in this. You know, there's a woman named Victoria White that was beat 37 times in the head, and she's been charged with a felony. So make that make sense. Beaten by multiple cops in the head, and she took a plea deal because this is where we are with a 99.4% conviction rate in D.C.
Bob, can you find the tox report for that Roseanne, whatever the fuck her name is?
I was trying to find it
because
earlier.
Saying somebody with an Adderall prescription has died from an Adderall overdose, that's a bit.
It said acute amphetamine overdose, basically. I'll try to find it.
Which Adderall is classified?
Yeah, it is.
Right?
Yeah, but it takes a little bit.
She was
especially if you're like if you're a regular user, if you got a prescription for it, you're gonna have to really take some to fucking
OD. And she was a former addict, according to the story.
Yeah. And then the other part of this too is like if you're gonna use that defense against her, you would use against George Floyd.
Yeah, he had 11 times the lethal fentanyl dose
in
his body.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, so you know? If you're going to just make it equal, so you go to court.
But again,
is there a jury there and everything else?
No, so we have a choice of doing. You can have a bench trial or a jury trial, and no one is having any success. Everybody has asked for a change of venue. I mean, this is, you know, 99% of people work for the government in D.C. or a contracted company for the government. I mean,
is it Judge Tanya Chutkan? Is she doing yours? Was she doing all of these?
I have a very fair judge, and I'm, you know, he's put in a hard place. His name's Judge Rudolph Contreras, and I think we connected well. But I did a bench. I opted out in a jury trial, and he let me know, you know, up front that he was on the FISA court, and he was, you know, he was on the General Flynn. You know, he was part of that trial. And also, what's the guy, the FBI agent that was so against Trump, the blanking out on his name. But anyway, that's his neighbor.
You mean the...
Jack Smith?
No. The director of the FBI?
Ray? Christopher Ray?
No, before him.
No, I forget his
name. The guy that was wearing a fucking Joe Biden shirt the morning of the election. The fuck's his name?
You know,
I can see his stupid face.
Anyway, he let me know that it could be viewed that there is a political bias involved because he has a bench trial as the judge. Here's the whole thing. You do a trial right in front of the judge.
And it's quicker and less expensive when you do a bench trial like that instead of
for the
going
government.
Exactly. For a full jury. So did you request a jury initially and were denied that?
No. You have the right to have a jury trial.
You chose to have this.
Yeah,
bench
because
trial.
Based on you know the statistically the odds are better in doing it. You know, unless you have a very far left leaning judge, you study we studied all the trials and all that. So, I mean, so yeah, I opted out on the jury trial and did it right in front of the judge, and it was 4 or 5 days in D.C.
Okay,
and going back, I did hire initially. My Dallas, I hired a Dallas attorney. You know, I paid him $50,000 for 3 weeks of work, and then he wanted another $350,000 to go forward, and I didn't have that. And so, but he got me out. Like initially, the Dallas judge said I should be released on home detention, that I was acting in self defense, and the crutch wasn't used in a dangerous way. And then, but they opted out to go to the DC court, so I had to wait in prison for 40 days in Mejia, Texas, you know, I got out of my cell 6 hours and 40 days with, you know, convicted felons. I had two cartel guys, a pedophile, two gangbangers who are proud of killing three people. And, you know, God has a sense of humor. Cause I was the night I got in there, I was on TMZ. So everybody knew they watched that show. And so they knew and then messed with me. They thought it was a joke. Yeah. So they called me insurrectionist or Hollywood and left me kind of alone. But it was, I mean, so I went, and my dad does prison ministry. So the only times I'd been in prison was sharing the gospel with my father. So, I was let out. Finally, the DC judge ruled that it was in response to be under duress, and I wasn't acting, you know, I wasn't using it as a bat or a batting ram, the crutch. And so she released me, and then I was on home detention with an ankle monitor for 20 months. Okay. And I have no criminal record, just to clarify. And I, you know.
But what does that encapsulate there? Is that no drinking, drugs, anything like that?
No drugs, of course, but you could, drinking was fine, but you did drug tests, you called in daily to, I still did up until recently, called daily into a drug, and you go do a piss test 3 times a month. And then you're out, you're allowed to leave your house for, you know, work purposes only. Only certain hours.
I have the kind of the autopsy, what it says. So they had outside consultants come in.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what it says, a Vanity Fair article. So whatever, take for what it's worth. But this is the best I can find. That wasn't massively paywalled like WAPO or something. Outside medical consultants were asked to review Roseanne's autopsy report. Were split on its conclusion. Two experts agreed that the procedure was professionally done and thorough, but they disagreed on the cause of death. One felt that even though Roseanne was young and took her ADHD medication regularly, the amount in her system was in the lethal range, and she had preconditions, probably obesity, that made her vulnerable, and she was a smoker, that made her vulnerable to amphetamine intoxication, though stress may have affected her. A second expert said the context and circumstances of Roseanne's final minutes were critical in understanding how she died, believing that the video evidence and eyewitness accounts her death might not have been caused by
well, they,
so you're saying
the family wanted, the family had no opportunity. They cremated her body before the family had any opportunity.
So three out of the four
to do it.
Reviewers don't think it was an OD.
No, the original reviewer thinks it's an OD.
Yeah.
The second, let's call it three, I guess. So the first one thinks it's an OD. The second one thinks that the amphetamines played a role and it could have been a lethal range considering her body type mm-hmm. and other comorbidities. And then the third one thinks it was just something else.
Okay. I'll go back to what I said earlier about the George Floyd thing. If you're calling it that way, you could have called it the other way too if you wanted to.
Well, only when the victim is black.
Right. Obviously. Not in this case here. Now, this you've been going through this for about 3.5 years now, somewhere in there?
Over 3 years.
And you're about to be sentenced in a few weeks, correct?
Yeah, eight to nine weeks I'll be sentencing. So the judges, we're submitting a final overview of our defense. And, you know, just to clarify, yeah, the Lila Morris on the stand, she's one of two officers that I allegedly assaulted. She admitted twice. And you know, I believe a lot of these, you know, these witnesses are very much coached. I mean, that's part of the strategy. But she admitted on the stand I never touched her.
Okay.
So for 3 years I've been, you know, accused of assaulting the woman that, regardless if Roseanne died from, I don't believe it was Adderall at all. It was either she was, you know, she was trampled, or she was underneath this pile of 4 to 5 people deep and she was suffocated to death, or she was beaten. I mean, she was beaten 3 times in the head with a stick, violently beaten. And she, blood came out after she had, you know, that's on video, after she had been hit. So I don't know if blood, dead people bleed, but anyway, the whole thing is she was made into the victim in my trial, that she was under duress.
Okay.
And so this is a officer of, like, I'm not a trained officer. I've never been in these situations. Plus we wanted the officers to do their job and help, you know, serve and protect. And there were some, you know, I get it that we're in a fog of war type scenario. I've never been in a riot, never want to be in a riot.
Yeah.
But they weren't rescuing these people. And for 10 minutes, there's video of all these men saying, before I got up there, there's a woman down that needs help. And then they brought her up and they're just standing there. And there's a sheriff named, deputy sheriff named Ronald McAbee, who's been locked up ever since. And by the grace of God, I'm not still in the DC gulag. I got out. Okay. But he's been locked up ever since. And he as a deputy sheriff, was trying to tell them to stop. There's a woman down, you know?
Sure.
So I thought there were multiple people down. So there's, when you get in that circumstance, some people run from it. You know, some people, you know, well, I went into I was hit by a hit and run driver. My fiance died. I lived crossing a street in Hollywood. I got up and I was looking for my dead fiance. You know, so, and I, you know, the next 24 hours, I was doing everything. What do I need to do to make sure her family's, you know, I called her job, her parent, she sold weddings at Paradise Cove in Malibu. I called her boss and I said, she's not going to make it because she died. You know, so there's people that react differently to traumatic situations. But I'm telling you, like, that, hearing women cry, like, that put me in this, like, I'm going to go help them and do what I can, even if it means go and stand in the gap and try to stop it. And that's my response. The intent is all about my trial. I have to, they have to prove that my intent was to cause bodily harm or death to the officers, and I using the crutch as a dangerous or deadly weapon.
So when this sentencing comes up here in the next few weeks, what's the maximum amount of time you're looking at, and what's the minimum?
I mean, the minimum is acquittal on all charges, you know, and...
But that hasn't happened to anybody, to my knowledge.
No, that's very, unlikely based on, you know, the ratio percentage of convictions. Again, it's a 99.4% conviction rate for all J6ers. And all of us have been, you know, constitutionally, like... We should have the right to have our trials. If our trials got moved to Virginia, for instance, or Texas, a lot of us, that this would change the narrative.
Sure.
So, and that's where, you know, so the worst would be, you know, 4 to 6 years. They offered me a plea deal for 6 months if I pled guilty, but I would have to say that I joined a mob of Trump supporters, again, using the crutch like a spear. And my integrity and what I did that day and what I've said from, you know, for the last 3 years, and what this, you know, what has the media has done and my charges have done has already, you know, gutted my life. And I'm going to stand and, you know, with the truth. And that's, you know, and I hope that the judge can go by letter of the law, because my team, my legal team, Anthony Sabatini, Carolyn Stewart and Steve Hill, they were incredible. Steve Hill is a use of force expert. That basically, if I'm used as lethal force is used against me and I'm not the instigator, I'm allowed to defend myself. You know, unlike Roseanne Boylan, she was unconscious. She can't defend herself. But I was beaten by the same cop with a stick. My initial attorney thought it was a tree branch. It was a big old, you know, walking stick. And she had her baton on her side. And by the way, they all have shields. I was pushing against shields and they're on turtle shell protective riot gear. They all have gas masks when they're gassing a tunnel full of people with no gas masks. So, you know, I picked up that crutch, not at any intent to even use it as a defense mechanism, but more as to make myself like a wall and a barrier between the rioters and, you know, and the police and to be a neutral party in it. And so my response was, again, it was a preservation response. And if you see the video afterwards, I'm completely out of it. I was disoriented. I was confused. It was like I got my bell rung after a big hit, you know, football.
Yeah.
So, and you're like, what did just happened?
What have your attorneys said to you about what to expect sentencing-wise? How long do they think you're going to get?
I mean, I'm praying for the best scenario, but I'm like, God has taken away all my fear. Again, my faith, like, I've gone through a worse nightmare losing the love of my life. I'm 45 almost. She was the love of my life. That happened 15 years ago. That was being the survivor and having survivor's guilt, like a lot of veterans have. Like, that was way worse than this. So I, you know, I'm ready to go to prison knowing that I told my truth in a court of law, and that could be. Again, I think we beat dangerous or deadly weapon, and they should throw out, you know, the Lila Morris admitted I never touched her, and that has to be, you have to have contact to have, you know, and that's the ironic part is she beat an unconscious woman like this. I allegedly pushed against her, but she wasn't even on the line. She was pulled back by the time I pushed against the line. So that should be thrown out. So it's whether I assaulted Officer Sanjaman is his name. For 3 seconds, I pushed against him, and he patted me. He said, "We're good." I dropped back, and then the crutch fell, and the crutch fell to the side, and that's where they're saying that I was swinging it. But you see me; I'm like a drunk man. You know, that's what I look like in the body cam footage. So again, 4 to 5 years to, you know, time served. I mean,
somewhere in that range. So either full acquittal or potentially 4 to 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, I've done 45 days and two. I don't get credit for the 20 months I did on a home of detention that I wasn't able to travel and, you know, for work, and it killed my company. So on top of my, you know, my new reputation as an insurrectionist. So that's it's in the judge's hands. And we're I'm hoping, you know, my prayer is that this could be, because literally the video of me saying stop and pray. I mean, I was that. If you show a pattern of what I was doing, I was trying, you know, attempting to bring peace in that moment. And so I, you know, on top of it, I'm charged with assaulting the woman that beat a unconscious woman to death. The irony there. So this could be just big for the J6 community if I am acquitted. And that's my prayer, that if I am even, you know, if I just get the misdemeanors, which, you know, we proven by the video, I'm walking up through 60,000 people. The video they're using against me, just nonchalantly. You don't see any signage or anything. Those are all the trespassing ones. But those would be misdemeanors, but it could be up to a year in prison if I'm just on those. But so regardless, I don't know, Ross. It's up in there. It's an unknown future. I'm kind of whatever God wants to do with it, and I want to be used, you know, to help other people in this, and you know, if that's to expose the injustice or to help others that are about to have their trials. You know, there's the guys that were picked up the shields and formed an area behind me. They're charged, and they just picked up shields and stopped people from coming in that area so they could bring Roseanne's body, and they're charged with felonies for picking up shields that were on the ground to they were peacemakers that day too, and I think heroes.
So today, as far as you are concerned, financially, how have you been able to survive over the last 3.5 years? What does somebody do who's on house arrest for 20 months and they're a filmmaker and everything else? What have you done to make ends meet, and who paid for your legal team?
So I had some help with my initial attorney, cause I was waiting on bill. I was waiting on payments on projects that then got canceled. And then this is just tell you something about public defenders. I had placeholders as public defenders for about 2 years. And the first time I met with them, they said, I can't believe they didn't shoot more of you guys. And these were Midland, Texas public defenders. And I was like, shoot and kill us? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, I guess you just showed your cards on what side of the political spectrum you've found yourself, but, you know, and how you've been, that's, you know, basically programmed. But so then I was able to, you know, work on this one project that was media related, you know, from my place. And then I worked actually the last 6 months, I was working in radio and a film show about a radio show in Hyco, Texas. So, and they hired me, but I went by an alias name because they didn't want, it's a national radio show. They wanted my talent, but not my name connected to it and the baggage it brings. So it's been, we raised some, you know, through Give, Send, Go, my buddy set up an account. We raised like $30,000, and I've made some back, but it's, you know, it's gutted. Yeah. It's, I don't know where I go from here after this. And I'm kind of open for whatever God has for me, man. You know?
Okay. So hypothetical.
Yeah.
Guy like you does go to jail.
Yeah.
Let's say they give you whatever the sentence is, 2 years. I'm just making that up. Just making that up right now. What's the meal you have before you go in?
Oh, I was going to say, which gang are you going to join?
Well, not that, because it's...
Oh, I can tell you all prison stories.
The White Brotherhood, but what's the last meal you got? I've been in
prison. Last meal...
Ass.
Last meal.
You're eating ass, dude?
Yeah.
We
got plenty of that in jail.
Towards the end of it.
Yeah, no, but it's not quality ass in jail, dude. That's a lower grade of ass.
That was my one... one fear going in prison the first time. Was like, I'm going down fighting before anybody, you know...
Rapes you?
Takes me, in the ass.
Well, so, I'm an ass.
I made it through Hollywood without that, so I can make it through prison, too.
It's a little more aggressive in Hollywood, I think, than
it
jail.
It is, very much.
Kevin Spacey, they just dropped a new trailer for his movie.
Yeah, he's out there touching weens, dude.
He sure is.
I saw Kevin Spacey the first week I was there with
and he'll make
15-year-old kid
with
in his lap at a West Hollywood
restaurant. Yeah, and that kid's probably dead now, too, based on how things have gone.
Well, look.
It seems like anybody that takes him to court mysteriously dies.
You want to talk about someone who's good at hiding... evidence.
I think he actually is the character from K-Pax. He's an alien with superpowers, man.
Could be.
And again, he feeds on 15-year-olds.
A trailer just dropped for his movie. I have not seen it. I know it was
did he play the pedo? That one?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But it did drop, and it's in my DMs here. Overall, looking back at all of this, do you wish you never went?
No, I wish I did more to. I wish I knew that Roseanne was. I knew that she was up there, but I didn't know she was directly to the left of me. I would have jumped in front of her. And no, I don't. I believe in God's providence that this was not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. Anything I've been through in my life, it's part of my life story, and God will use it for the good of those who love Him. And that's what I believe. And Yeah, I mean, this is I've done a lot of press trying. I feel like he is using people with righteous intentions to expose the truth behind a big lie that was January 6th that day. And somebody that's a filmmaker that works in advertisement and knows propaganda, and like literally that's what I made commercials for 14 years. That was my bread and butter after I got out of TV for the first part. And I know like that's. You know, that's part of my role in this whole, you know, world stage play that's going on. So, I mean, that may sound, you know, fluffy, but that's, you got to find significance when you're going through suffering, man. And I think brokenness is a good thing. I mean, when you lose everything, I lost a lot of friends. I lost family members. I lost my reputation. That's fear of man. Fear of man keeps a lot of good men from standing up and doing the right thing. Because they don't want to be canceled, but like there's freedom in losing everything. There's freedom in being canceled. There's freedom in like, I don't know what I'm gonna do after all this, but I'm open and I'm fearless. Like it's, you lose the fear of like, what else can you throw at me? You know? Sure. So there's a freedom in that. And I don't care what people think of me anymore. I'm just going to be who I am. So, and for a long time I played the game and working in the industry and, I mean, I'm outed as a conservative, and I'm outed as a you know, called an insurrectionist. I mean, it's how they've shamed us. I have to mention this. There's been 4 to 5 people that have committed suicide that had lesser charges than me, just because of the shaming of the media. And I think it was weaponized, you know, on behalf of
Well, they also decimate these people financially too.
Oh yeah,
totally. Because you can't pay for these legal fees,
especially these ones. They're still. Last I heard, 48 that are still locked up that haven't had a trial. You know, and
because they can't afford it. Shit, we've been in a million lawsuits for over the years for all kinds of shit, and nobody can afford the shit. That's what people don't really understand. Yeah. It's not just the toll of what you're accused of.
Yeah,
it's the financial toll that absolutely ruins your existence. So. Look, man, I appreciate you being here today. You've got a fascinating story. We obviously wish you the best here in the next few weeks as you face sentencing. In the meantime, we do have this thing called Drinking Bro of the Week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Who would you like to give the Drinking Bro of the Week to?
I would like to give it to my father. He's one of my heroes. Okay. Father, Rusty Coffee.
All right.
Yeah.
Rusty Coffee. I'm going to give it to that judge, dude. Go lenient.
No, let's do it to the judge. Judge Rudolph. I'll switch it. Hey, curveball. We'll switch it up, Judge.
Yeah.
Rudolph Contreras. You know.
He's definitely a listener.
He
watches
is.
The show.
We do the right thing, Rudolph.
He goes in the chat sometimes.
Honorable Contreras, I just ask you, sir, to look at the letter of the law and pray that you don't let the political bias play into it. So.
There you go. There you go. Well, look, we appreciate you being here. Thanks you for sharing your story and everything else. We've now had a couple of you guys on who were out there that day. Dan and I have obviously shared our feelings on January 6th numerous times in the past here.
Well, that's the one. The last thing I want to say is
it's horseshit.
I saw the best of America that day that were there, and that's what you know. Regardless of how the audience may see me, there were. I would say 98% of people there were just, you know, amazing Americans that love our country.
And we've heard that from a lot of people. Yeah. And
so to judge on the rotten fruit, wherever it came from, I don't want to get conspiratorial here, but just, I mean, it was a very patriotic day and that obviously will go down in history of the world. So, but everything you hear in the media is not true. Start being a critical thinker. I mean, don't let the little glowing box program you. We're in fourth, fifth generational warfare, which Laura Logan spoke at. She had me as a guest at We the People here in Austin at an event. And we're in fourth, fifth generational warfare. So the warfare is going on at information in your minds and being programmed by the lies of the propagandized media. And as 2014, Obama, you know, had an executive order legalizing propaganda within our media industrial media complex. So know that what you're watching, there's a reason to there's spins on everything you're watching, right, left, and in between, just alt media, everything. Just be a critical thinker. Use the brains that God gave you.
Yeah, I'm thinking of speaking of critical thinkers there, we're going to close out today's show. Bob, you had it before on the page back there of Toby Keith. We're going to end
end with a Chris Christopherson song.
I think no, we sure aren't. He's still alive.
Yeah, he's a real man.
He's
that's why he's still alive.
Today.
Chris, Jimmy, real men.
today.
I said on RPR they're alive because they wanted it more.
Yeah, they yeah. did. They did. And look, when Chris passes away, he'll get his time, but we will close out with this today. Here we go.
But freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose.
Sure is. Look at that. Pop him up on screen. Thank you, dude.
I'm all set on this.
There it is.
So we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads.
Toby, dude. Look at TK.
My daddy served in the army.
Oh, his daddy did serve in the army.
Yeah, you don't get credit for that.
He lost his eye, Dan.
Okay, you don't get credit for that either.
So did Crenshaw.
It counts when you're in a fraternity.
Yeah, Dan Crenshaw lost his eye.
Don't you get legacy, though?
I think so. No. It's not a goddamn frat.
Toby! If you're out there listening to this right now, crank this as loud as it'll go, dude. Think of Toby. Hold up a red Solo cup. Just know that we lost a Patriot today, dude.
Not quite Patriot. Patriotic enough to join the military, but
he couldn't. He had asthma. Fuck yeah.
And he wrote this fucking propaganda song about how we're going to go save the Middle East.
They did.
Get revenge. No, we lost both wars.
Toby, you told me numerous times that Toby Keith has helped you out over there.
I've never
said that. Six times.
If I met that dude in person, even if he had cancer, I'd punch him in his fucking face.
He didn't come play for the U. Is it true?
Dig him up.
There it is, dude. Look at Toby.
You need to bring back the sleeveless. Sure.
Yeah, Toby.
What a turd. Why is he dressed like that?
He was firing shots at Afghanis.
Is that stolen valor?
Yes.
There it is.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Toby. Justice will be served. Get it, Toby. Battle will
rage. This big dog will fight when you rattle his cage.
Goddamn right he will.
Sorry that you mess with.
Not him, though.
Yes,
he's a fucking like hype man.
We don't know. We don't know.
The fuck out.
We'll never
here,
have
man.
This answer, Dan.
We'll put a boot in your ass.
Yeah, brother. Fuck yeah.
This to me is like before the GWAT, people used to like men in America used to take credit for World War II all the time. Like, bitch, you weren't there. Like, we could fucking Germany's ass. Like, oh, I didn't see you.
I didn't
see you on those front lines.
Toby was there, dude.
No, he wasn't.
We just saw him on the front lines. He's right there.
Is that Jared?
Yeah, Toby.
I don't know. 2005 or something.
Look at Toby, dude. Look at TK, brother.
We'll run to a fucking wall.
Yeah, this is a hype video. If I'm the Chiefs, I play this before I come out of the fucking tunnel on Sunday. R.I.P. King! R.I.P. to Toby Keith.
Jonathan says his Drinking Bro of the Week is everyone who almost signed up. So the man show, or the man spot, he's one.
Almost signed up.
Yeah.
Me? Let's go.
Was that you? Were you one of the people that almost signed up?
You couldn't have gotten in. Maybe during the surge when they were letting felons in and shit.
I got declined.
You got declined? Flat feet?
No, they just, they're like, you're from Delco? Fuck no, dude. You're not.
Crohn's disease.
Crohn's disease. Oh, that's right, dude.
Oh, yeah, you got Crohn's.
Yeah, you can't do anything about it,
bleeding
man.
Out of your ass all the time.
Sure can't, dude. It's going to slow down the unit.
Wouldn't slow down my unit.
Nah, I can shit on the run.
A lot of it, too. Marcus Luttrell told a story about shit on the run, man. That was gnarly on this one, and I enjoyed it.
Run on the run.
Yeah, but here's a red Solo cup to Toby. He tried. He tried to get in, and he didn't, but we love him. Go to iTunes, rate the show a 5-star, and leave a quick review. Also, head on over to Spotify. It's just a 5-star, and you can walk away. And then, obviously, if you were watching the video on Patreon today, you know that account exists. We got a ton of shit up on there. I started posting all the movies from the past. So, like, Range 15 is up there. So if you're, you know, a $10 subscriber, you can watch all the movies on there. Helen Keller, fucking FDR. There's a ton of movies on there because we own all the rights to them. So fuck it. You guys can watch them for free. And then also next week, I'll be posting private videos that I've acquired from Dan's brother of him and Toby Keith hanging out overseas, drinking together, doing shots, high-fiving each other and things like that. So there's going to be a full TK drop next week of D'Anthony Holloway and Toby Keith hanging out over there. And your brother gave me this.
And I'll show you how I gave him cancer.
Well, look.
That's my stateside. Boom.
One of the photos is you guys are barefoot to barefoot, and it shows how Toby was flat-footed.
Well, we interlock our toes, too.
Right, but he was flat-footed, and he couldn't join. You have an arch, and so you were fine.
You're webbed. Don't you have web feet?
No.
No. Okay. He's not a webby.
Okay.
No. By the way, you ever think, because I'm sure you'll do like Comic-Cons and shit, like a J6 Tiny Tim. Like, that'd be a good one with the crutch.
Okay.
Maybe. Just consider it. I'm just branding. I'm just brainstorming some branding things for you, Ross.
Yeah, okay. Whatever. That's a great idea, though.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
Let that swirl around.
Let that jiggle
old
around.
Noggin. Yeah, yeah. Jiggle around old noggin.
Let it marinate. Yeah.
Yeah. And then get back to me.
Yeah.
Get back to me.
Sure.
You can keep it. I'm not going to
trademark. Should be my manager, maybe?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
You're okay.
A fucking insurrectionist, dude. I can't be associated with that. We've done 2 shows now with insurrectionists. 3, actually. Shit. Yeah,
well, you're kind of branding yourself with
it. Where's the red, white, and blue? For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Podcast. Good.